Blog Talk Radio.
On the 9th episode of Confession. Session.
Wendy Williams' son put the paws on his daddy and got arrested. Another stupid-ass feud is popping off involving Jocelyn and Hazel E. And Meek Mills was banned from entering a hotel in Las Vegas. What's good, y'all? This is your host, Angel Vondrina.
And this is your host, John Othello. And you are listening to the one and the only Confession.
What? Hey. All right, y'all. What's good, John Othello? How are you doing on this beautiful Sunday?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm doing lovely. This has been just one of the best weekends of my life.
I'm so
happy to be back. I'm so happy to be in the comfort of my home.
What you gonna say? Being in my home was a fucking just a horrible. The maid, you know, that you had me being was awful. The food that I cooked for you, you know what I'm saying, was just the worst. Like, what the fuck are you saying, huh?
No, I'm just kidding.
You're so funny.
No, but I had a great time in Milwaukee. It was just so classy. Everyone just welcomed me with open arms. It was so good to see my family, you know. I miss you all so much. And I'm just forever grateful to have people like you all in my life. You were very hospitable.
Aww.
You know, we slept good. We drank a lot. We laughed. We cried. We kept it classy.
Yes. We cried.
I don't think we cried, but
we definitely laughed.
Yes. I couldn't get up, you know, a bouncy house. I almost broke my knee.
Yes, Jen is dramatic.
But,
so dramatic.
But I'm back, y'all, and I'm back to reality. And whew, when I tell you, work was just this weekend. Oh my God. Oh my God. Working at food and beverage, and you all will come to know. Well, not if you don't work in food and beverage, but if you work in food and beverage, then you know. Like, there is definitely differences between business clientele and leisure clientele. Like, leisure clientele, they want more for less. They want to complain about everything. But once you work 10 times as harder, they feel like they have something to prove, and it's so gross and disgusting. Like, this weekend has literally been one of the worst weekends I've ever had to do.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah. One day, you know, when I'm long done with, you know, my life in food and beverage, I do want to either write a book or, like, you know, have, like, a YouTube series where I just talk about, you know, some of the stories and, you know, some of the stuff that, the grossness that people can be, like, pretending to be.
I would love
whatever.
To look at that.
No, I mean, it would just be, I think it would wake people up, because it's just like, I don't think people realize a lot of stuff that they do and how annoying it is and how dumb they look.
Mm-hmm.
And if that was to happen, oh, honey. Yes. Yes. But
I agree.
How are you doing?
Go ahead. I'm doing really good. I'm just saying that I agree. A lot of people don't know this, but I actually was in the same business. I was in food and beverage for a while. I worked 7 days a week for almost an entire year. You know, making a $500 paycheck every week, you know, where tips had to be split and tips was like $2. So, you know, trust me, I definitely know that. And people were absolutely disgusting. Like, we had just, I mean, and I wasn't like in a classy upscale restaurant like Jean works in. I was in like a rundown, you know, horrible place where I seen like rats and like my boss will call you a bitch. And, you know, it was horrible. Like, it was just horrible. People were stealing from him, and you seen it. And then, like, I remember I got in trouble because motherfuckers, they were stealing and tried to blame it on me. And I'm looking like, bitch, I don't even got no goddamn money. And well, how about we check pockets? And then, like, motherfuckers was offering me, like, to have sex with me for, like, $500. Like, nigga, what are you even talking about? Like, which was, like, they SSI check, like, old-ass men. You know what I'm saying? And I was with my current husband right now, like, when this was going down. I was, how old? I was, like, 19 years old. So almost 10 years ago, about 10 years ago. And it was just a hot-ass mess. And I was, like I said, I was there for almost a year before I was like, look, bitch, like, you need to do something else. And then I found another job. I got into Overno College, and I quit. I was like, look, bitch, I got me another job. I'm in school. I'm done, you know. And it really all came down to, like, the first time he called me a bitch. And it was really when I seen his, the biggest rat in my life have ever seen up close. In my grown adult age, and that motherfucker, I was washing dishes after my whole entire hand was, like, split open, and I was washing dishes, which is absolutely disgusting now that I think about it. Like, nigga, you telling me washing dishes with a hand that should have been motherfucking stitched up? Anyways, and I seen a rat, and I jumped back, and I ran out the restaurant. I was like, I'm not coming back, and he was like, bitch, you better get back up in here, and I called my mom, and my mom was like, what? You know, she's going off, and then, she came in that motherfucker, and she bought, like, a mouse trap. I mean, she bought, like, this peanut butter with arsenic in it. And literally, like, a couple hours later, the rat was dead. And, yeah, and, like, literally a couple days later, I was gone. I moved on from that position. So that's just the hoodness, you know what I'm saying? I can't even imagine how much worse it is to be around a bunch of rich, petty-ass motherfuckers. So I definitely, now, you know, I don't even want
to. It's one of some people that think they're rich and entitled. They're really, really middle class, and you know, talk to you crazy and have an attitude about everything, and expect, oh, well, can we get something like for making us wait? Even though,
wow,
it's crazy,
like,
I'm
like, what, bitch? You want some bread? You want an extra piece of bread, bitch? You want a butter? You want butter on your bread? Like, what do you want?
Now, if I'm in a London, that's one thing. But it's just like, other than that, no, please. No, honey, please.
I mean, no. And so, yes, like I'm saying, I understand that 100%. But other than that, guys, everything's been smooth. I really miss Jun and Chris. I had the best time they came and spent. My lunch hour with me on Tuesday. It was me, Jun, and Chris's new friend, Brittany. And we had, like, a really good time. We had some good wine. I mean, good drinks. I think Jun had a beer, and we had a good time. And we just, overall, like we said last week, we had such a fun and amazing time while they were here. And we're definitely looking forward to going to go see them later on this year for the Christmas party. Just looking forward to having a great-ass time. And, you know, coming in their house and crashing some shit up. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying, you know. And hopefully Jen and Chris make me a bowl of grits. You know what I'm saying? And I can talk about how delicious it is, you know, with some eggs and bacon and sausage. So that's pretty much it. But, yeah, guys, don't forget to check us out on Instagram, YouTube, SoundCloud, Anchor, and, of course, this podcast and blog talk. Send us those confessions at confessionsthenumber2us@gmail.com. Don't forget to like, comment, rate, and subscribe. And tag us in that drama. Joe, why don't you go ahead and hit them with that young confession question of the day after the sparkle.
Confession. Is there a particular way couples should act with they are out with other couples? And are there any rule exceptions? Again, is there a particular way couples should act when they are out with other couples? And are there any rule exceptions? Now let's get started with those confessionals. It's Angel Bondrina.
All right, y'all. Okay. So, according to USA Today, Wendy Williams' son, Kevin Hunter Jr., was reportedly arrested for a physical altercation. And he was arrested following a physical altercation with Wendy Williams' estranged husband, Kevin Hunter Sr. The Essex County Prosecutor Office in New Jersey confirmed to People in E! News that Williams' teenage son was charged with simple assault Tuesday night following an altercation with his father at a store in West Orange, New Jersey. Kevin Jr. was taken into custody by police, and he was processed before being released, according to the media outlets, who says it's not clear what sparked the incident. We all know that Wendy Williams filed for divorce, according to USA Today. They reached out to Wendy Williams for a comment, but nothing has been told. And once again, Wendy Williams, we all know about, we follow her story, her journey about her filing for divorce in April from Kevin Sr. with the whole baby rumors, which it is apparently his, allegedly. And it was stated that it's crazy because now my business, which is what Wendy Williams said, now my business is your business. And this was said during her Hot Topics segment in her April 15th show. It's kind of funny, the turnabout, a fair game. I get it. Now, I just want to first off start off by saying that Sis is looking good as fuck lately. She gained weight in all the right places. Her skin is looking good. Body looking fabulous. Makeup done, you know, phenomenally. Wendy Williams is out here. I cannot imagine what would have sparked her son, her teenage son, to punch her his daddy in the face. But I'm sure it was all for good reason. He probably was getting extra disrespectful with Wendy. And his son has seen this shit throughout all of these years and had enough. And I'm just glad that, you know, Kevin Hunter is starting to understand, like, okay, motherfucker, like, you is a bad person. You're really a bad person. And not only that, but Kevin, their son, Kevin Hunter Jr., the father stated that he don't plan on pressing charges, but I don't understand why he ended up in jail if he don't plan on pressing charges. That makes no sense to me. However, John, what is your opinion on this, and what do you think happened to spark young boy to punch his daddy in the face?
In the fight. So this is my take on it. This is what I think happened. Okay, this is what let me tell y'all exactly.
Let us know, John.
Nigga, I'm sorry, I'm just 15. I'm being aggressive a long day. But so what I think happened, honestly, is he, like you said, is very much tired of his father and his father's bullshit antics, and he don't got time for it. And his dad probably said something slick, you know, because I feel like, when the parents are beginning, like, a divorce or when the end is near, it happens. You know, I feel like it's, like, you try not for it not to be that way, but a lot of times the kids will fuck with one parent and they fuck with the other. You know, like, because this was my stepmother. Like, my stepmother and my father, when they were going through whatever they were going through, me and my stepmother was very close. And I saw how, you know, my father and his cheating ways, how he, you know, hurt my mom because she was really like a second mom to me. So, I mean, it just started to make me draw away from my father, you know what I'm saying, and looking at him differently and not really fucking with him. And to this day, our relationship is still, like, estranged, you know, because I feel like he ruined our family, you know, and I feel like that's what we all feel like. We had a good thing going. Like, we had a good blended family. Like, you know what I'm saying? And my dad ruined it because of his own, you know, demons. So I think that with Kevin Jr., you know, he probably noticed something, and he might have said, you know, Kevin Sr. probably talking shit, and he probably snapped out, and next thing you know, they just swing and putting hands on each other. But, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, yeah, he hit his dad in the face, and his dad hit him in a headlock. And when they arrived, the police arrived, I guess, he was stating that he was just trying to, you know, calm him down. But, like, nigga, you're not going to calm me down, put me in no goddamn headlock. You're making me real irate right now, and that's what it is. And I think Jen had an excellent point. You know, I remember Jen telling me, you know what I'm saying, that, you know, he had to box up with his father once or twice. I'm just kidding, y'all. I understand how these.
My dad choked me out. My dad choked me out one time because I had got flipped and he picked me up by my neck.
Oh no, are you serious? See, if you was talking slick though, you know what I'm saying? You can't just be sitting up there talking slick to pop.
This was like way before, like, you know, separation, divorce. I was just being an entitled kid that went to Nicolet and being disgusting and living in Glendale. And I said something, he was like, nigga, who the fuck? And straight picked me up by my neck.
Oh, nigga, who the fuck?
Yeah.
I know your ass started crying, too. I can see it now.
No, I didn't go. I was quiet. I was just like, straight choked out, nigga, nothing.
Let me shut the fuck up. Let me be quiet because this shit got real real right now, and I am not white, okay? But yeah, y'all, it's interesting, and I'm interested to see what's gonna happen, you know, with everything that's going on with Wendy Williams. But sis, keep doing you because you look good. All right, guys, we're gonna go ahead and move on to the next topic.
All right, y'all, next topic, and this is according to AtlantaBlackStar.com. It seems Jocelyn Hernandez is the talk of social media this week. The former Love & Hip Hop Atlanta star engaged in an online beef with City Girl rapper Young Miami and was apparently taken to court by ex-Beyonce Stevie J for another custody battle all within 1 week. She has yet to address the ongoing drama with her baby daddy, but she seemingly still has some words for Young Miami. The self-proclaimed Puerto Rican princess took to Instagram on Thursday and posted a photo of herself posing atop a Rolls Royce in front of a Miami mansion. She positioned herself on all fours with her feet up in the air and glared at the camera. Anytime you booger hoes got beef, bitch, dream it, Puerto Rican princess. Hashtag, she wrote in her post, clearly throwing jabs at the actor rap diva. Yes, boo, I love me some Jocelyn. She don't give a fuck about what the next bitch got to say. Hoes better be careful. Another ad is they hate and sweat you all the damn time. You a bad bitch. But then Hernandez posts quickly, Joel, girl, what the fuck are you doing on that car? That ain't cute. It's weird. You couldn't think of any other pose? That's not your Rolls Royce. Not yours, girl. Get down. But then Hernandez I read the same pun. The television personality posts and implies shot. Follow a few days after chaos erupted between her and Love and Hip Hop alumna Hazel E. and Young Miami. The 32-year-old mother became a target body fall after showing support towards Hazel E.'s diss track towards City Girls. Added up. At that shit hard, go off, bitch. Hernandez commented on one of Hazel's Instagram posts. The act up duo rapper clearly took offense to the reality star's comments and put her and Hazel E. on blast, writing, on my son, I will beat either one of you hoes to death just because bitches throw drinks and pour hair across tables on TV. Don't do shit to me. She also told Hernandez to meet her in Miami for an old-fashioned throwdown. Hernandez responded with a video saying, you know where the fuck to find me, Fort Lauderdale, ho. The feud had fizzled down since Tuesday, but the Love & Hip Hop Atlanta alumna apparently still wants to smoke. So, Ms. Angel Von Gina, what do you think?
I think, first of all, this is stupid. I think that, number one, Jocelyn shouldn't be doing a damn thing. Don't be doing shit for clout. Don't be pretending like you're taking photos like some shit is yours when it's not. That's weird. Number two, why the hell did you get involved in the first place? Like, girl, you have too much plastic surgery to be trying to fight somebody. Like, somebody going to jab you in your face and break your fucking nose. Now you got to pay $25,000 to get your nose fixed and your titties fixed and your booty fixed and your stomach fixed and your thighs fixed and your toes fixed. Like, bitch, come on. Like, just stop. And I really just don't fuck around with Hazley. Like, she's irritating to me. You know, like, I feel like Hazley, she just thinks that she's just, like, the baddest bitch in the world, and that's irritating. But also, Jocelyn, like, bitch, you too damn, like, I mean, I know she's young, you know, she's in her 30s and stuff, but, like, you're too old to be in this type of light. Like, you're not Jocelyn, the Puerto Rican princess anymore. You're just Jocelyn, Stevie J's baby mama. You know what I'm saying? You have a daughter. Like, you need to be more appropriate and understand that your daughter is looking up to you and she's seeing this type of shit and she's going to remember this type of shit. You know what I'm saying? She's now to the age where she's going to be asking questions, and if not asking questions, very curious about, you know, she's going to be curious about the past. So, but you sitting up there, you posting videos, responding to that shit, you above that petty ass bullshit. you fly above the fucking pigeons, act like it. Because right now you acting like you one of the pigeons. And shit, motherfuckers don't fuck with pigeons. I know I don't. I definitely don't run away from them, but I'm trying to let you know. I make sure that when I'm walking past one of them hoes, I don't make eye contact. Bitch, please. So it's just irritating that this feud has just started, and it's just so stupid. Like, y'all doing too much. Y'all doing all of that yik-yak over the internet, knowing damn well if y'all get up front and in close with each other, ain't a goddamn thing going to happen. If y'all was at the same bar, y'all probably wouldn't even argue with each other unless the cameras were rolling. So, like, shut the fuck up. What is your thoughts?
I think that it was all dramatic. I definitely feel like, you know, Jocelyn knew what she was doing and she wanted to be shady because, you know, she isn't happy with where she's at. And I don't think she's
right.
One of those women who
get happy, bitch. Get happy.
Mm-hmm. She's one of those women that can't be happy for, you know, another woman's success. And
right.
To me, Hazel Lee and the whole situation is stupid because added up don't sound nothing like acting up or act up. And Hazel Lee, music is trash, period. Like, it's just, it's no relation. I think that Girl Code,
it's
her that she had a mixtape called Girl Code before. They had a mixtape called Girl Code. It's just like, that is very much a coincidence. Because, I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of women who would come out with something called Girl Code. I mean, that's a very popular phrase. Like, I don't think that they ever admired anything that you do, like, at all, basically. So I just think that the whole thing was stupid, and now she's scared because she's getting all the backlash. She thought she was trying to get clout, but it's just like, no, you're messing with some real Miami people,
mm-hmm.
and you will be found swimming with the fishes, okay? Or at least get beat the fuck up. Like, and I don't think she's about that.
She not. She definitely not about that life. So, honey, just in, you know what I'm saying, in the words of Hazel Lee, you know, in the words that I think Hazel Lee would say, girl, just stay your whole entire pretty surgery self and don't get into the drama, you know what I'm saying? Just stay far away from it as you possibly can because last thing you want to do, you already lost a few deals last year with the whole homophobe bullshit. Last thing you want to do is lose it all. Okay, it's losing all. So just stay far away from it because you're doing some dumb shit and it's unnecessary. All right, you guys, you're going to go ahead and move on to the very next topic. All right, you guys, so this is crazy. When I read this, I was like, what the hell? So according to TMZ, yesterday, May 25th, Meek Mill was just told to get the hell away from the Kaiser Tomlinson Hotel and casino in Las Vegas, and that if he didn't leave, he'd be arrested and locked up. The Philly rapper and two members of his security crew rolled up to the Cosmo at around 3:30 p.m. Saturday when they were stopped by security. And if you guys want to watch this, you guys will see it in the video. Just look up Meek Mill's security video or Cosmo Meek Mill, something like that. So anyways, security was not about to let Meek Mill into the hotel. TMZ sources say Meek asked the guard why he couldn't come in, saying he didn't do anything up toward in the past. He had only been there once before with Nicki Minaj for a Jay-Z event, and that was 5 years ago. The update at 5:25 p.m. yesterday, TMZ obtained a demand letter written by Meek Mill's lawyer, Joe Tacopina. To Cosmo, Tacopino writes, we have learned that Cosmo maintains a list of African-American recording artists who should not be, you know, denied access for no other reason other than their culture and skin color. Such course of conduct constitutes discrimination per se in violation of state and federal law and exposes you to significant monetary damages. The letter goes on. We urge you to promptly issue an apology to Mr. Williams and grant him immediate access. In the event that you fail to heed this one and only warning, we intend to pursue all legal recourse against you. That's crazy as hell. Like, I knew that, you know, there were hotels that wanted to, you know, make sure that the black population was not, you know, in there of the par, but this is just crazy. Jim, what are your thoughts on the issue that's going on? Because also, TMZ, they did reach out to Cosmo. They obviously have not gotten a response yet. But, like, what are your thoughts of this whole issue? Like, just the racism, this whole fucking list. Like, what is this list of African-American recording artists? What is going on?
Definitely, okay? I'm sorry, y'all. No, but I feel like a certain way, but I still understand because I know both sides. Like I said, working in food and beverage, you know, I have heard places turning away certain artists who are A-list. You know, I've seen that personally. I've heard of that personally because not only, you know, what they represent, but at the same time, it's like I'm just letting you know now, when we get there, we're going to be smoking in the room, we're going to be doing this, so just all the fees, it's okay, blah, blah. Like, people don't want to deal with that. People don't, just because you are a celebrity, people do not want to deal with all that disruption. A lot of times in these places, they have the money, they have their clientele. A celebrity, an A-list celebrity coming is not going to change how they move because it is a certain way. But at the same time, a Meek Mill, you know, who at one point was a troubled rapper, I do feel like he's made changes and he clearly is more aware of his presence and his celebrity and the fact that, you know, he has to move different because he is about changing the laws, and you have to represent someone that you want to fight for their rights for. So at one point, I could see, you know, and maybe the list hasn't been updated, but I could see a high-end hotel turning away Meek Mill, knowing his past. Today, no. But I could see why they would have a list. I'm sure they have a bunch of motherfuckers. Tekashi 6ix9ine. It's not just about race. I'm sure they wouldn't want Tekashi 6ix9ine. They wouldn't want, you know, all these people. But yeah, I mean, is it like rich rednecks that be coming in there and just being just as loud and ratchet and being annoying and stressing the staff out and they allow them to come? I'm sure it is. You know, and they need to be equal. You gonna have a list of artists that don't need to be just rap artists. And you need to put Miley Cyrus on that list too. I'm sure she's probably annoying. I'm just kidding. I don't think she is in real life. I think it's just an act. But I'm sure there are many white artists who get on your fucking nerves, who would trash your hotel room, who was probably doing all kind of, you know what, in the who knows what, you know, in the hotel room. So, I mean, it just has to be fair and it has to be equal. At this point, I don't see myself supporting Tyler Colony. I like the Venetian Hotel better anyway. So,
right.
I never even thought of staying at Tyler Colony. I didn't know that the Tyler Colony was like this, you know, lit-ass hotel. So, I mean, I definitely heard people saying that. But
well, he actually, Meek Mill, he didn't say that. He didn't come and stay. He came to see, I forget the individual, but he came to see somebody there. So it's not like he just came to come and have a good time and stay in a hotel. He actually came for a show. So that's why he was there. And I feel like it's really good, Jen, that you actually spoke up and stated your opinion because me being in hospitality years ago and definitely not people who are famous, I never thought about anything like that before. So I think that it's interesting to always hear both sides. And I can definitely see where you're coming from when you mentioned,
who I know have been denied, and they've been like, you know, I've heard of people, you know, I can't say this shit on air because, like,
At your job, babe, people have been denied? Like, you can actually do that legally?
Yeah, I'm not going to say if it's at my job. I'm just saying that I know that there are places that you can go and people don't give a fuck who you are if you have a reputation.
But is that illegal? Is that real?
Yeah, and on top of you having a reputation, that precede you. You clearly are coming into it like, I don't give a fuck and I'm going to be reckless. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people will be like, no. Like, they're going to be like, we don't want that shit here. Sorry. I know you're blah, blah, blah. And I know a lot of motherfuckers care about who you are, but we don't. Because guess what?
Wow.
We've been making, this is your first time coming here, and we've been making corn. Okay? Like, you're not an asset to us. You're a liability.
That's interesting. Well, that just kind of lets you know, guys, it really, really matters how you carry yourself in public. You know, if a fucking high upscale restaurant or even a hotel that you normally wouldn't even go to is denying you, then it's time for you to sit the fuck down and take a look at yourself and how you're acting in a public light. Nobody has time for that shit, you know, and these people are letting people know. And in a sense, with Meek Mill in this scenario, I think that they were, I don't really know Meek Mill as being like this horrible person, though. Like, I mean, he had to beef with Drake and all of that, but I don't really know his background as being like just this core. Besides him rapping about drugs and shit like that, like I've never seen Meek Mill in like, you know, fights and stuff like that. Oh, the shit with Safari. Okay. Well, I mean, that's just one thing. But anyways, yeah, guys. Jen, you're going to let me know who you're talking about. Okay, we off air now. Let me know. No, I'm just kidding. All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and move on to our final topic of the evening.
All right, y'all, final topic. Okay. And this is according to Complex. Presumed number one overall draft pick, Zion Williamson has already been offered a $20 million shoe deal with Moni Yadi in a film role courtesy of Master P and Romeo. According to TMZ Sports, the father-son duo offer is conditional on Williamson's assumed arrival at the New Orleans Pelicans. I know Zion is going to get a big shoe deal from Nike, Adidas, or whatever. We're going to get him a deal just to have to wear shoes outside of basketball, Master P told TMZ. Just to wear on the side, not the game, I'm saying 20. According to Bleacher Report, Williamson's shoe deal, Williamson's shoe deal profits could exceed $100 million. Master P and Romeo also indicated willing to find a role for Williamson in the follow-up to their film, I Got the Hookup 2, which premieres in July. I have a beautiful idea. We need to get Zion in the I Got the Hookup 3. The New Orleans mogul isn't concerned over whether or not Williamson can act. They're confident he can be taught. I'm not worried. I can teach him how to act. Most recently, the former basketball player said Williamson will be bigger than Michael Jordan, affirming that he'll be welcomed with open arms if he's drafted by New Orleans. Before Williamson signs any sponsorship contracts, however, he will need to sign an agent. Sean Devaney of Sporting News reported that several agencies are ready to sign the rookie. Among those were Creative Artist Agency, Roc Nation, Clutch Sports, and BDA Sports. While Williamson's family will still lean heavily on Wells for advice, the goal for choosing an agency is according to a source, one that can be most effective at building his brand, he wrote. A source told SN that Williamson and his family are near, Sports Nation, that Williamson and his family are near, I am lost. Where the fuck am I?
So annoying.
I don't know. Devaney of Florida News reported that several agencies already. Okay. Here we go. A source told SN that Williamson's family are nearing a decision, which will come possibly as early as next week. That's it. That's all I got to say.
That's all Jen has to say. So, John, do you think that if he was to get the $20 million shoe deal and be a part of this movie, I Got the Hookup 3, I haven't seen I Got the Hookup 1 or 2. Do you think that this is something that is going to, you know, affect his career in any way, shape, or form? What do you think Master P is trying to do by, you know, offering him this movie deal and the shoe deal? Like, do you think he's seeing something in the future, or why do you think he's doing it?
Yeah, I think that clearly Master P has heard of, you know, he probably knows this movement, and he sees how people are when it comes to him. It's just like, to me, it just kind of sounds like Megan Thee Stallion. You know, like before Megan Thee Stallion was on the scene like that, and she was on a podcast called Lip Service that I was listening to with Andrew Yee, and Andrew Yee was just in the industry talking about her and saying she's going to be a huge deal. And now, it's like she still hasn't, like, fully got to that superstardom yet, but it's just like she's right before that. Like, to me, she's everywhere now, you know, but she hasn't crossed over yet. But when she crosses over, she's going to be like Cardi B. That's what I think it is. I think that they know, industry insiders are telling him, and they probably see and witness, and they're like, yeah, this kid is going to blow. So before he does, let me get in, let me give him his money, let him offer his movie role, because he's going to, you know, make us even more popular, and we try to, you know, keep it in the community, keep it in the culture, you know, because I feel like that's what Master P and Romeo are about. They're about, you know, uplifting, you know, their people and trying to put their people on, you know, but they're also, they're trying to, you know, trying to get him before he is too extensive, before he gets to a LeBron James or, you know, one of those huge pro athletes that are, like, untouchable. You know, while he still can be touched, and while he still can, you know, he still gets excited about hearing movie roles and all that shit, I think that's what it is. They're just trying to get him before he blows. That's it.
I agree 100%. I agree 100%. And I think that Jen said it best. I really can't even add any more to that. I just hope that, you know, he consider it and then move forward from there, because he's definitely a great basketball player. All right, guys. With that being said, we're going to go ahead and move on to our confession question of the day. All right, guys. Confession question of the day. Is there a particular way couples should act when they're out with other couples? In other words, couples etiquette. And then, are there any rule exceptions? John, if you're out with a group of friends, do you think there's a way that you should handle or present yourself with your couple? Or do you think that all is fair and, you know what I'm saying, what I do?
Yeah, I think that it's, like, not really necessary, but at the same time, I mean, I do think that it's necessary, but I think it's just, like, kind of unwritten rules. Like, to me, I feel like – there's a couple of things I was thinking of, but then I forgot. When it comes to, like, your spouse, just, I feel like, just watching what you say, you know, not being disrespectful, or not talking crazy to your spouse in front of, you know, your friends and their spouses. You know what I'm saying? Just being mindful how – you are making your spouse look, or how they may feel. You know, a lot of times I feel like, you know, arguing is a no-no. You know, I think that if it comes to the point to where, you know, like you notice, you know, when it's just like with me and Chris, if we have a disagreement, you know, I'll just shut up, because I'm not going to sit and argue with you in front of all these damn people. Like, I'd rather wait for us to get back to the house. So I'm just going to be like, oh, okay, all right, well, and switch the subject before it goes there, and I know how my mouth can be. But something like that, or I think, like, also being, you don't want to be too friendly, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think with your spouse's, I mean, with your spouse's friends, you know what I'm saying? Like, I am cool with Chris' friends and, well, with his male friends, like with his gay male friends. It's like, I'm cool with them, and I do consider them friends, but it's still, it has to be like a level of respect there. Like, I would never kick it with them without Chris being there. Like, I would never talk about my sex life
to them. Like, I would never just be, like, just doing too much, overly friendly, but at the same time, it's just a fine line. But I think that's pretty much it. And also, I feel like the PTA as well, like the PDA, too. I'm not, like, a PDA person. I feel like you're going to sit here and make up somebody, like, what do you want? Do you want people to watch you have sex? Like, what is the point of doing all that? Like, I think I just thought that's really weird. That's pretty much it. What do you think, Ms. Angel Andrina?
Yeah, my sister actually brought this topic to my attention, and I do think that there is a proper way that people should act when they're out with other couples, in my opinion. You know, I definitely think that, you know, a smooch or two is definitely fine, but you definitely won't see me and my husband. You know, okay, so hold up, because I'm being a little, okay, anyways. So you definitely won't see me and my husband sitting up there making out, you know what I'm saying? However, you may have seen me and my husband as boyfriend and girlfriend back in the day sitting on each other's lap making out. You know, you may have seen that, because when the nigga was like 16 or 17 years old.
I've known you how many years? I've known you since I was 16. And you've been with Sam since you was, what, 17, 18? So, and I've never seen y'all, like, just hardcore make out. Like, I've never seen y'all.
No, you won't. Hell, my mom recently seen us kissing, and she was like, oh, my God, they kiss each other. Like, bro, I don't want to be kissing you in front of my mom, you know what I'm saying? I want to be, you know, doing the most, giving you hugs. Like, I don't know. I'm just really not, like, an affectionate type of person. I don't want to be doing the most. You ain't gonna see me grinding on my husband.
I am, but when it matters. Like, I'm going to hold your hand when it's just me and you. Like, that's what it's about. To me, I feel like PDA is you want other people to see that shit. Like, I want, when I do stuff, it's because I don't expect other people to see it. Because for one, we're gay. I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable, you know. And then, but that's not the main thing. It's just, too, I don't feel like I want to show that. Like, I'm not no freak. I'm not trying to, you know, weird shit with my man in front of the world to see, you know. But if it's just me and him and we walk in and I'm just like, this is so romantic, I'll grab his hand, I'll walk with him, you know, I'll give him a kiss on the lips, you know, but we ain't going to be just hardcore making out. Like,
And no. So do you feel like there are any rules to this exception? Like, say, you know, first of all, number one, you're a teenager, so this is something that you're doing as a teenager. Number two, like, because I feel like there are certain exceptions, and that's pretty much my exception. I feel like, number one, like, if I'm a teenager and I'm with my other friends and stuff like that, I feel like teenagers, they just don't know any better. So, yeah, we might see, you know, teenagers making out, doing some kissy, freaky shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, okay, they're kids. Or if you're, like, you know, doing this type of, you know, what is it like when you swamp, like, you know what I'm saying? You do in that, what is that shit called? The freaky deaky, all of that stuff where people there in like a room together doing that weird ass shit, trying to exchange couples and shit. I mean, obviously that's an exception because you're being a weirdo and you're about to get ready and have sex with somebody else's man.
Right.
But those are really like the only rules to exceptions. Like, I know particularly in a recent situation, I know a girl, she had just met this guy after knowing him for a few weeks. They just had met, and, you know, they were pretty intimate, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, in that sense and stuff like that. I'm not really sure if that was a rule to the exception, but I just know how it is when you are in love and you first meet somebody and, you know what I'm saying, and you're not with them all the time and they're leaving to go back out of town and stuff like that, so I can understand how every moment you want to kind of cherish that as well, too. But I don't feel like that's really a full entitled exception. I feel like there are places to do that type of stuff. I feel like, you know, as an adult, that's something that you should realize, especially around other couples that you're not used to hanging out with. And I even specifically remember me and my husband on the city bus. Like, I don't know if we were making out or doing, I don't even know what the hell we were doing. I know we were being gross. And some guy was like, get a room. And I was like, we got one, a Red Roof Inn. I was 17 years old, being extra fucking ugly on the bus, okay, getting ready to go to Oak Creek, Red Roof Inn, to have the best orgasm of my life, okay? And, yeah. And yeah, so just being yes, just ugly as a bitch. He was like, get a room. I was like, I'm on our way, we got one. Red, and I'm like looking like, this is just so stupid. Now that I think about it, I'm like, I was just so stupid. Just 17, doing the most on the city bus, okay, no car, making out with my boyfriend, just ugly as hell, okay? So, but yeah, trust me, I know how that is. But if there, do you have any other rules or exceptions, Jen, to this hot mess that we call public affection?
I think that's pretty much it. But no, I remember like when me and Chris first started dating, I think because it is like that new thing, but I mean, I've been like a PDA, but I just remember my dick would be hard around him like all the time. And he would always like look and be like, we weren't having sex either. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I wasn't having sex before that. Like, I used to just always, whenever, like anything he do, I'd just like, damn, he's fine. And I would just get hard like ASAP. Like, you know. But I think. And he just be like, I remember one time he was like, "Mom, put that away," and I was like, so embarrassed.
Put that
like,
away.
I was so embarrassed, but I think that's like.
Oh my god, he knew. Oh my god, man.
Yeah, like, but it wasn't like. I was just always like, I'll just be like, "Damn, he's so fine." Like literally, anytime we would hang
that's
out.
That's so cute, though. You know, that is just so cute. Like when somebody. You know, when you be around somebody and, like, you look at them, you be like, damn, like, this motherfucker is just, like, turning me on. And, I mean, I still have those feelings too for my husband. Like, there are so many times, like, I look at him, like, him and his 30-year-old fine ass, and I just be like, this nigga is fine. Especially, don't let him wear a suit and don't let him wear some blue jeans and a black shirt. Okay, I'm trying to let you know. Where is it at? I'm hopping on him because you at work, I'm coming because I'm trying to let you know. I'm coming to your job, and I'm coming on the desk. That's all right, because you fine as hell right now. No. But I mean, it's really good to have those feelings, like, years and years and years after being with somebody. And I feel like just with age, you just get fine. Fine as wine with age. So, yeah, overall, public affection, you know, it's cool to be, you know, cute or whatever like that. But, like, when you with other couples, it's like, simmer down, Homer Simpson, because don't nobody want to see all that shit. Period.
Right.
Okay? Because I have seen with the T that before, and I'm not with it.
And then also,
all right,
also, I feel like when people are like that, too, it's fake. Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, you could just tell a couple that's been together for real and love each other for real, because they don't got to do all that. Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, I feel like that's my mom. She'd be like, oh my goodness. She'd be like, oh, look at him, babe. She was talking about my stepdad. She's like, look at him, big daddy, they kiss. I'm like, first of all, Sam needs to get the fuck off me because Sam is more affectionate than I am. So, like, I really don't like kissing and holding hands and all of that shit in front of other people. Like, you get the freak in the sheet. All right, like, I ain't trying to be all ugly in front of everybody. And that's just because that's just how I am, and I expect people, especially who I'm cool with, to, like, you know, be the same way. Like, you know, y'all be freaky in your house or in the closed door. Go to the bathroom and get freaky real quick. I don't want to see that shit. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's pretty much, I feel like, well, a lot of my friends, people I'm close with, they respect that. So it's just like, you know, I really don't have anybody that I know that is just wild like that. So, anyways, guys, we're going to go ahead and move on to our confession question of the day. After the sparkle. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. We're going to go ahead and confess our love, guys. All right, Jen, go ahead.
So, I want to confess my love for my city. You know what I'm saying? Where I'm from, who I am. You know what I'm saying? My heart. Probably North Carolina.
Wow. This nigga love. He's friendly. Okay, you know what? Go ahead and confess your love for Raleigh. I'm going to call it Raleigh. Go ahead and confess your love for Raleigh.
No, I'm just kidding. But no, Milwaukee. It's just, you know, I haven't been back in 3 years, and I just see the city is growing and progressing, and it's just so good to see. It feels like a nostalgia And, you know, we stayed at the Pfister, me and Chris, and we just every night.
He walked right past my job, too, y'all. Didn't even come in.
No, I didn't, nigga, I didn't know that was your job. I didn't know. I know you were, but that's a big-ass building. All of this, like, I don't even know really how to even look for you. But, yeah, no, we was just going out every night. It was just so much going on, and I was not used to that because I'm like, Milwaukee did not used to have a nightlife. Milwaukee did not used to have, you know what I'm saying? Just, and it's just, like, a lot of shit going on, and it's just, like, I'm proud. Like, I'm really proud, you know, of the city and where it's grown and where it's going. But, yeah, what do you confess your love for?
Well, before I confess my love, Jen, did you guys end up going out?
Yeah, we did. We went out, like, every night. So, I know.
I mean, the last night.
Yeah, we went to Brownstone. It was really cute.
Okay.
You know, definitely if you're in the Milwaukee area, check out Brownstone. It's a black-owned cocktail lounge.
Mm.
And the food was delicious. The staff was super nice. Like, the owner came over and spoke to me. He was like, I ain't never seen y'all in here before. Where y'all from? You know, and, like, it just literally, mm-hmm. like, just chopped up with us. Like, and everybody was just so respectful. It was just like, to me, the it reminded me so much of a D.C. Like, and it's weird to call Brownstone. So I'm like, I wonder if the owner, like, did she go to college in, like, D.C.? Or something, because it's just like, just everything, it's just a different vibe. Like, you could tell, like, the black people that were in there was, like, educated and, like, a little bougie. But it wasn't, like, ooh la la fancy. It was just, like, it was different. And it was lit. Like, it was so nice. And I had a great time. We had a really good time. We smoked hookah, and we drank a lot. You know, they had some cheap drink specials. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 25 and older.
That is 25 and older. I really love that too. Like, yeah, it's 25 and older because ain't nobody trying to be in a club and a 21-year-old. I'm trying to let you know. So I'm confessing my love for all of the veterans that came through, fought, died, survived, retired, just the Purple Heart veterans as well. Everybody who has really helped out fighting in this crazy war, and, you know, I think that it's just super amazing that, you know, there have been so many people that have fought and, you know, just helped out for their state. And so I'm confessing my love. Memorial Day is tomorrow for our veterans, and just letting you all know that we do care. We love you all. We definitely support you all. I donate all the time. I won't say all the time anymore, but I do donate to the Purple Heart Veterans, and I used to actually work for the Purple Heart Veterans as well. So I'm very passionate about that, and my dad was a veteran. My stepdad is a veteran, and it's just amazing what they have done, you know, how they have fought for our country. So, you know, and United States don't even like they ass like that, you know, so it's amazing what they've done. Anyways. So that's what I'm confessing my love for, and, you know, keep doing it, y'all. I also think that it's super dope. You guys know I'm in this little position or whatever. This is, like, my very first time working in this little corporation, U.S. Bank, that I've actually had, like, a day off of work. It's been, like, 7 months almost that I've been at this, like, damn job, and I haven't had, like, a full day off of work except for, like, Christmas and shit like that. New Year Eve where I was forced, so I'm super excited to be able to enjoy my holiday, have a 3-day weekend, and enjoy time with my family. All right, guys, with that being said, that is the ending of our show this evening. Thank you all so much for tuning in and listening to our show this evening. You all can expect to hear from us next Sunday at the same time, 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern. And we want to hear from you, so don't forget to like, comment, rate, and subscribe. Tag us in that drama and send us those confessions at confessions2us@gmail.com. This is your host, Angel Vandrina.
And I'm your host, Jamo Jello. And you are listening to the one and the only. Confessions.
Two. What?
Confessions. Good night, May.
Good night, May.